Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Father, again, we do thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for the songs that we've sung. Father, thank you for just already ministering to our hearts and drawing us unto you. I pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear as you speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that you would take away all distractions of our own thoughts, things that we are planning to do this afternoon, things we have to do this week, things we faced this past week, things that may be troubling us, things that may be weighing upon us. I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, for this hour, help us to be completely focused upon you, because I know that you have answers to our life's problems. I know, Father, that you have wisdom for us and you have guidance to give us, and I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to be completely drawn unto you. And I pray, Lord, you bless the children as well, as always, Lord, speaking to them through your word, allowing the truth of your word to take root in their heart, to bring forth much fruit in their life, obviously the fruit of salvation, a fruit of relationship with you, Lord, joy and just a purpose in their life and a completeness and an identity that's found in Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time. We ask the Holy Spirit have free reign and free will among us, Lord, accomplishing your will in our hearts, producing his fruit in our lives and helping it to be manifested in our actions, in our speech. And I pray, Father, that we would not only be drawn to you, but those that are lost, those that do not know Christ as their Savior, would be drawn to the one who's lifted up, the one who paid the price for our sin and lives victoriously in us and through us. Even as Paul says, that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Thank you, Father, that we live this life through the power of Christ who accomplishes so much for us. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As they come to the temple and come to the gate that is called Beautiful, there is a man that is lame. He has been lame since the day he was born, and he has been laid here at the gate to beg for money because he cannot work. He cannot provide for himself, and apparently there's nobody that's even willing to take him in and provide for him and take care of him, but they're willing to at least carry him to the temple so he can beg for money. But he hears something very strange, but yet something very powerful on this day, and that is, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. But what's in a name? Because Peter had no gold, he had no silver, he had no food to give him, but he said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Because yes, people need clothes, they need food, they need shelter, but one of the greatest things they need is Jesus Christ. But what's in a name? What's so important about this name of Jesus Christ? In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, it's important to have a good name among your peers, a good name among your family members, a good name among your coworkers, somebody that when they think of your name, they think of someone who's faithful, someone who's diligent, someone who is trustworthy, someone who is helpful, someone that they can count on. Because I'm sure that when you hear certain names, you automatically think negative because That's not someone I can trust. If I were to say Jezebel, I don't think I've ever met a woman named Jezebel or even a girl that was named Jezebel. There might be somewhere, but it's a name that's really not lifted up. It's not a popular name. Every year there are popular names that come out that people name their kids based on the popularity. The names that I gave my children were not based on the world's popularity or anybody else, but what I felt the Lord wanted me to give to my children. But again, having a good name, what do people think when they hear your name? Do they think of someone that, again, they can rely upon? Someone who is a dear friend, someone that they can trust, someone they can confide in. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1 says a good name is better than precious ointment. Some people don't care about their name. I remember reading the account of George Mueller when he was a young man in his early 20s, and he would get himself into a lot of trouble, drinking, gambling, just lying, stealing, cheating. And one night, he took up residence in a hotel, but he did not stay long. He climbed out the back window and did not pay for the hotel room. He got caught by the police, and his father was summoned to the police station. And when his father came to the police station, his father paid the fare, got him out of prison. But from the moment they stepped out of that jailhouse until they got home, it is recorded, and George Mueller testifies of the fact that his father beat him with his cane all the way home and told him that you have a name that you bear, Mueller, and you're not going to drag it in the mud and bring shame upon this family. From that moment on, George Mueller realized, you know what? Not only do I want to represent my family well, but once George Mueller became a Christian through the power of God and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he now had a name that meant so much more, and he did not want to represent it any other way but through righteousness and through perfectness and holiness that God would do in his life. So a good name is better than precious ointment. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 reminds us even a child is known by his doing. Everybody is known. Again, when somebody says your name or hears your name, what are the thoughts? And we do. We want people to have fond thoughts of us. We want people to believe that we're trustworthy, we're reliable. But there is one whose name means so much more. Because honestly, I can't be everything. I can try my best, but there'll be times I fail people because I'm just human. But when you think about the name of Jesus Christ, what's in a name? There's so much in the name of Christ because it's a powerful name. It's a powerful name that the demons tremble when they hear it. It's a powerful name that a lost sinner can receive salvation when they put their faith and trust in that name. The name of Jesus is not an ordinary name. It's not a name without significance, and it's not a name that's powerless. In truth, it is a name that has all power. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ, and Peter did well when that's all he had was to give this man the name of Jesus Christ to put his faith and trust in. The power in the name of Jesus Christ, in Matthew 1, 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. They were not to name him anything else. They were to name him Jesus, and to make sure that when God spoke to Joseph, God relayed to Joseph as well that his name was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Jesus Christ. It's not Allah. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not Benedict Arnold. It's not anybody else that has a prominent name in this world. It is the name of Jesus Christ that carries all power, and it is by that name we put our faith and trust in for the gift of salvation. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, when Peter and John are questioned by the religious leaders what they had done and by what authority and power they had done this good deed unto the man that was lame, Peter responded and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. It was not any physician. It was not anything that Peter physically did, but it was the man putting his faith in the name that he heard, the name of Jesus Christ, because we know there's power in that name. Not only do the demons understand the authority that's in that name, but you and I receive peace and comfort through that name. We receive salvation through the name of Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus Christ who saves us from our sins. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Therefore, in Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why is it the world is okay with any name but that name? Why is it even these Jewish religious leaders told Peter and John and the others, okay, teach what you want to teach, just don't name the name of Christ. Just don't say Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's power. Because when someone hears Jesus Christ, it demands respect, it demands authority, it demands submission to the Redeemer, to the Creator, to the one who holds their life in his hands. But not only do we have salvation through the name of Jesus Christ, but also the forgiveness and cleansing of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's not a single man on this earth that can cleanse and forgive anybody of their sins. And even the religious rulers of the day that Jesus walked on this earth, they understood that. Because when those friends brought the one man and lowered him down in front of Jesus in that home, and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven, those religious rulers said, who can forgive sins but God? Obviously, Jesus Christ is God. Emmanuel, God with us, he was manifested in the flesh. He is the only one that can forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And like I said before, there is peace and joy in the name of Jesus Christ. I know the world uses it. You probably have family members, co-workers, that when they say Jesus Christ, they're not saying it reverently, but they're saying it with just saying it derogatory, saying it with hatred, saying it with disdain, and just using it as a curse word, because it's what they've heard, it's what they've learned, it's what the sinful flesh does. But to you and me, when we hear the name of Jesus, it brings joy because we know what he's done in our life. We know the storms that he's calmed in our life. And we know that the peace of God abides with us because of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You and I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And when we hear his name, it reminds us of the great peace we have, that we will never come under the wrath of God. We will never come under the condemnation because we have been saved from wrath to come. And the peace that passeth all understanding is to rule in our hearts because of Jesus Christ. There's also comfort in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the things I'm naming is exactly what this unnamed man in Acts chapter 3 received in a moment. The moment he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the power of Christ healed him. The peace of Christ took residence in his heart through the Holy Spirit. His sins were forgiven. He was cleansed, and he had received the gift of salvation, and he was comforted because of Jesus Christ. There's comfort in the name of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The number one thing that helps us to keep living in this world and to keep moving on is that our hope has not died, because our hope is found in Christ, which gives us the comfort that he hasn't left me here. He hasn't deserted me. I still have time here to glorify him in the life that he's redeemed, but he's coming again. And that brings comfort. That is why we're told in Scripture not to forsake the assembling of yourselves, but so much so more as you see the day approaching, we're to gather. We're told to comfort one another with these words that, you know what, no matter how bad this world gets, and it's going to get worse because Jesus said it would, and we read in Scripture it's going to get worse even before the rapture of the church, before God calls us out and catches us up to be with him. We have no idea what it's going to be like or how bad things will be, but just look around. It's a lot worse than when you were a kid. It's a lot worse than when I was a kid, and it's going to continue, but we have the comfort in the name of Jesus that he's coming again. We have something to look forward to. You realize this man in Acts chapter 3 didn't have much comfort? Because as he would lay there at the temple, why did no one ever take him into the temple? Why didn't no one ever take him into the church? Take him into where seemingly the presence of the Lord was, where people were going in and worshiping God. They laid him outside. And I'm sure not everybody that walked by gave him what he needed. You've seen people that need help, legit, real help. I know there's those that want to pretend they need help and they don't. They just want to scam people, con people into getting money and food. But those that generally need help, and there's no one that cares. You realize that we live in a time where people do not truly care about anybody else? Because when you're in a car wreck, you see, and when you see cars, you just see people just driving by. Oh, too bad. They keep going. You do have some good Samaritans that will stop. Because last summer when I had my car wreck, my wife and my son were in that car wreck. I could hear cars whipping by before anyone came over and opened the door to see if we were okay and needed help. Because we live in a world that people are focused on one thing. But aren't you glad that when there are no people around to comfort you, there's comfort in Jesus Christ? We find our comfort in him. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, there's all power. There's comfort, there's peace, there's forgiveness, there's cleansing. We find salvation by calling upon that name that is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because he shed his blood for the remission of sin. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we find our worth and our value. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible reminds us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are young people that are looking for a reason to live. They're looking for, what's my value? Because so many are not being valued. So many, they seem to have any worth. They feel like they're not worth anything because their peers are telling them they're not worth anything. The culture is telling them, the worldly music, the worldly philosophy is telling them you're not worth anything. God doesn't care about you. But in Jesus Christ, we find our worth. We find our value. Because in Jesus Christ, again, he loved us while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act. He didn't wait for us to get things right. He didn't wait for us to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit drugs before he died for us. He manifested his love because that's who he is. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. And that's why the Lord said, you'll call him Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. In Christ, we find our worth, we find our completeness, we find comfort and peace and completeness. People are trying to find completeness. You know, they're trying to find their identity in this world. And they're finding it in all the wrong places. Our identity is found in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 9 reminds us, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. You realize if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not lacking anything to fulfill the life that he's given you, because it's all found in Christ. My God shall supply all your need. Doesn't mean life's going to be perfect and without trials, but whatever trial we face, we find in Christ the supply to get through that trial. We find our identity and our completeness. You and I are who we are by the grace of God. And Paul even says that in one of his letters, that by the grace of God I am who I am. He was a murderer. He was a robber. He was a thief. But yet, when Christ came into his life, all things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. Yeah, people still remembered who he was, because when he got to Damascus, people were scared. They did not want to be around Paul because they knew that Paul had been given letters to come to Damascus to persecute them, to haul them off to prison. Again, you have an adversary and an accuser of the brethren that will always bring up your failures, will always bring up the sin that you committed, that have been covered by the blood of Christ, have been forgiven. Again, we find our completeness in Jesus Christ. And that man on that day was made whole by the power of Christ. Jesus wasn't present. He wasn't present like he was with others that he said, rise up and walk. Cleansing the lepers, giving sight to the blind. Those that he was physically there, touching them or speaking to them. Sometimes I have personally thought, it'd be so much better if, Lord, if you were physically here. It would give me so much more confidence. It would strengthen my faith so much. I would listen to you more. I would follow you more. But that's not true, right? Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those that have not seen and believe. This man, though he does not physically see Jesus, I don't know. Did he ever see him during Jesus' earthly ministry? But he must have heard about him, because when he heard the name of Jesus and he was being commanded in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, he must have heard about Jesus and heard about the healings and heard about the other men that would rise up and walk, having been impotent 40 years not walking, and put his faith and trust in that name. I don't know, maybe he was even hoping one day he would see Jesus and he never saw him. But he heard Jesus had been crucified on the cross and was laid in a grave. But here, something strange was happening. Because you realize when a child of God, when someone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ speaks the name of Jesus Christ, it's different than someone using it as a curse word. Because someone who truly has their faith in Jesus Christ and encourages somebody else to put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit draws that person to Christ, not to the one speaking, but to the one who does the saving. I can attest that I'm sure on this day, as I've experienced in my own life, that that man, when he heard in the name of Jesus Christ, because what did Jesus say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. It is the name that the world wants to silence. It's the name the devil doesn't want to be spoken. Because again, though a person may never have even heard of Jesus Christ, and then when they hear that name, it's so powerful, it convicts their heart, it draws them. It reveals love, compassion, and grace, and acceptance to them. And once they put their faith and trust in that name, and they call upon that name, their life is transformed forever. Hopefully this morning your life has been transformed. I know that we all could probably complain to God and say, Lord, it's not fair for what's happening, what has happened, what's going to happen. But again, there has to come a place where we have confidence in that name. This young man had enough confidence in that name that he took Peter by his word. because Peter would take him by the right hand and lift him up. He didn't resist. He leaped up, because later it's recorded he's leaping and jumping. I know there's power in the name of Christ. I know there's salvation through calling upon that name. I know that I can find forgiveness and cleansing through the name of Jesus Christ. I know there's peace and joy in that name. I can find comfort and value and completeness, but do I have confidence in it? Do I have confidence in that name? Some put their confidence in other things. The Bible says not to put confidence in kings and princes of this world. We're not to put confidence in the temporal things that will fail, but in the eternal one who never fails. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You realize you can never lose your salvation. Once made whole, you're always whole by the power of Christ. This young man, again, put confidence in the name that was pronounced to him, in the name of Jesus Christ. He wasn't told to go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. He wasn't told to go show the priest anything. He wasn't told to go to, you know, one of the physicians, one of the doctors, and have them rub some ointment on your leg, and then I'll make it whole. Because you understand, it is the name that we are tempted over and over and over again not to trust. Because our adversary brings up failures. Our adversary brings up, well, I've prayed about this, and it doesn't seem like God answered my prayer. It doesn't seem like God's helping me. It doesn't seem like God is changing this person that just needs to be changed. And the devil wants us to lose confidence in the name of Christ. He wants us to lose confidence in the power of God. But as this young man proves, he put confidence in the one that could supply his every need. And what he needed was a new life. And the Lord gave him a new life, gave him purpose now. Before, the only purpose he had was to lay there and beg for money and beg for help and beg for alms. But once he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he found a renewed purpose in the name of Christ. In Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. It goes back to God starting a good work in you and performing it until the day of Christ. God has a purpose. And everything that happens in our life, God uses it for our perfection. He's perfecting us. He is transforming us more into the image of his Son. Good things, bad things. And again, it's all through his power. We have purpose because of Jesus Christ. And because we have purpose now, when you look at Acts chapter 3 and look at the following verses, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Here he is praising God. He's praising the very one that gave him the power to walk, the very one that transformed his life in a second. Have we forgotten that our life was transformed in a second when we put our faith and trust in Christ? There's been mountains, there's been valleys ever since. But he's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's power in his name because he has all power. There's nothing he cannot bring into a life. There's nothing he cannot accomplish in a life that is yielded and submitted to him. But this young man is now walking, leaping, and jumping. He is so excited. He's giving praise to God for what he's doing. And when you read on, the people in the temple are like drawn to him, like, what is going on? They know who he is. They know he's been laid there for years, not able to walk, and now he's walking and leaping and praising God. That's what happens when your life is transformed by the power of Christ, is that you can't help but to be excited. Yeah, there's times and moments where we get down, but when we put our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith, and we realize, wait, he's given me the power to not be this old person. He has given me the power through the Holy Spirit to be renewed in Christ on a daily basis. That this man, as he is walking and leaping, he's given him the ability to walk by faith in the power of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And by faith, he walked in the power of Christ. Never lost it. He never became crippled again. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that once saved, you're always saved, and that is proven in Scripture? It's not, oh, I'm saved today. Oh, tomorrow I'm lost. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, I don't know. Because then that would mean that Jesus does not have all power, but he has all power. And this man had to place his faith in the name of Christ. He walked by faith in the power of Christ. We walk by faith in the forgiveness and grace of Christ. I know of someone who is struggling. They're struggling with their past failures. And they don't see, why would God even forgive me? Why would God even show me grace? Why would God even help me? I messed up. I'm reaping what I sowed. Not walking by faith that you've been forgiven. There are consequences to things we choose to do, but we have a God in heaven that helps us to overcome those consequences. Because again, if I go out here and I'm so mad and I step out in the road in front of the car, there's a consequence to that. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt real bad. But it doesn't mean I lose my salvation. It means I've cut my life short. It means I've taken God's opportunities away that he wanted to do some things in my life. But walking by faith, you know what? I have forgiveness with the Lord because he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Walking in faith, or walking by faith in the righteousness of Christ, it's not me. It's not my righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ. This young man who was laid here at the temple in rags, he's clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The Lord came along and put his righteousness around him. And he's walking by faith in the healing and cleansing of Christ. All because he heard in the name of Jesus Christ. There is so much power in that name. And for the child of God, for the born-again believer, for the Christian who's on their way to heaven, it should be a name that's lifted high above anything else. Because sometimes when we're faced with somebody who does need something, food, clothing, maybe I don't have it. I don't have what they need physically, but I have what they need spiritually. And the Lord gives us those opportunities. And there are opportunities in our life as well that God brings us to a place where we're going without, so that we realize you may not have the temporal thing that you think you need, but you do have the one that can supply your every need, whether it's a spiritual need, an emotional need, a physical need, whatever it may be. We have to continue walking by faith in the name of Jesus Christ, who has all power and who has given us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 reminds us, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Never lose sight of the fact that you have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. You have someone whose ear is always open to your cry. Because his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. His hand is not, his arm is not short, it cannot save. There is nothing he cannot do for you. Don't allow the adversary and don't allow just life problems to get you to a place where you don't trust in that name. Sometimes we give up on praying for somebody because we don't see anything working in their heart and in their life. But we can't see that. We can't see what God's doing in someone's heart. Let alone we can't even see what God's doing in our life most of the time. We see the after effect. Because when I was a teenager, I didn't see God protecting me from near-death experiences. But looking back, man, God really put his hand out so my car didn't ram into that telephone pole. Man, God really put his hand out and stopped me from getting hit by a car when I was under the influence and pulling out into traffic. I didn't see God's hand at all until later when I became a child of God and realized, wow, God kept me alive for a reason. I'm just saying, there is power in the name of Christ. It doesn't matter how bad this world gets. He doesn't lose his power. He has all power. Whatever it is you may need, comfort, guidance, assurance. Some Christians need assurance of their salvation because they've strayed from the Lord and they feel as though the prodigal son, I'm only worth a servant. I'm not even worth being called a son. But when you return to the Lord with that repentant heart, and the Lord meets you right where you're at because your heart's been repentant towards him and he robes you, that son that rebelled. Got a ring put on his finger, sandals on his shoes, robed. I mean, his filthiness was covered up. I mean, there's just power in the name of Christ, and it's a wonderful name. And like we already looked at Revelation this morning, as those four beasts are crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and is to come. That's the one we serve. That's the one we follow. That's the one whose name is above every name. There's not another name that's more precious than Jesus Christ.